I just like to say it like that. On the other hand, this is open communion, and nobody that doesn't want to take communion has to take communion tonight. So just wanted to let you know that. If you would turn with me to Psalm 25 and verse 5. And I want you to take these verses personally, like it was you doing the one praying. And we all want this. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. And I'm going to share with you for the next few moments on the guidance of God, being guided by God. And if you don't want that, you need to start wanting it. It's what you need. And I want to say this also. To be guided by God, you have to be seeking God every day. The word says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 to pray without ceasing, to pray all the time. And is that possible? Yes. I would have to say that it is. It is my goal, whatever I do in a day, is to pray all day long and to meditate and hear God. And praying isn't just telling God something. Praying is listening to what God is trying to tell you. That's where we miss it sometimes. We come with our agenda. That's beautiful. We know what we want. But the most important thing to find out is what God wants in your life. If you can find that out, you're going to get help. In fact, the word goes so far as to say this, if you will delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. I know everybody's got desires. I think the problem is the other part, the pre-part. Delight yourself in the Lord. Ask God, what would you have me to do today, Lord? You know, I would like to be at the right place at the right time. Because I feel like people get up every morning and they go about their day and they start their day, most of them with very little spiritual preparation for the day. And they go out and they're pretty sure they're coming back. And many of them around the world, multitudes of people, didn't make it home tonight. I think you can be at the wrong place at the wrong time. How many of you in your Christian experience would agree with that? Amen. Yeah. You can be at the wrong place at the wrong time and bad things can happen. What we want to do is be at the right place at the right time. And get the best results. Remember this. What are you going through? How many of you would say, I'm going through something? Put your hand up if you feel like you are. I am. If you're not, God bless you and the horse you rode in on. But if you're not right now, it won't be long. Am I right, sis? It won't be long, and we will be going through something. So what we want to do, we want to be with the Lord. We don't want to make purchases that are so large that we shouldn't have made. And we get started and we can't pay for. We don't want to do that. We don't want to do things that are unhealthy, is all I'm going to say. You can, now look, I am overweight, but I used to be heavier than this. It's unhealthy. It'll kill you. Or it can. Would you agree? Yes. So what do we do about stuff like that? I just got through teaching a series that I call the Try To series. Just try to work on it. Try to do the best you can. You know, we're humans. The Bible says in Psalm 113, he knows that we're humans. He knows that we've got problems. He knows that we're made of dust. He knows there's a tempter that's been here way longer than us. And what we have to do is just try. Now, Keisha, what I've seen you do in the last few years, I've seen you suffer. I've seen you addicted. And then I've seen you get free. And I've seen you, and I watch your stuff on Facebook, and you seem to be much happier than you were. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And we're all proud of you. Everybody that knows you, we're just proud of you, Keisha. Really am. So lead me in thy truth and teach me. Lead me in truth and teach me. You cannot get the guidance of God without allowing God to take the word of God and teach you. You've got to be open to learn something new. And I'm 71 this coming Monday. I'll be 71, and I'm still learning. I'm still a sponge. I want to learn about everything, especially about the word and how God works in my life. So the guidance of God is what we're talking about tonight, how to be guided by the Spirit. I think it's a worthy thing to put in your heart, in your ears, and in your heart. Put up, if you would please, Psalm 143 and verse 10. Teach me to do thy will. Teach me. Teach me how to make myself, how to get myself in a position where I'll stop what I want and I'll say, nevertheless, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was about to be crucified. And he said, Lord, if there's any way that you can take this cup from me where I don't have to be crucified, take it away. He prayed that three times. But in the same breath, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And what I've found is a lot of people, their will is supreme throne in their heart. That doesn't work with God. If you want to be blessed by the Lord, you have to be willing to let him take you and train you and teach you. I've known many young people that nobody was going to tell them what to do. And then they got in so much trouble, they went to this place and that place, and they began to have to listen to others whether they liked it or not. See, that's the way life is. You get to doing things too wrong, and the popo's going to be at your house, and you're going to do exactly what they tell you to do. I've been there. I've been in jail a couple of times. I wasn't always as nice as I am now. But what I learned was this. If I want to get somewhere with God, I better curb that a little bit. I better just curb that and give God the benefit of the doubt that he might know more than me. How many of you have a slight idea that God might know a little bit more than you? Okay. Amen. I do too. I'm with you. And I've never found a person kinder, more patient, and nobody knows me like God knows me. God knows me better than I know myself. And I can assure you, God knows you better than you know yourself. There are folds in your spirit where God can see. David asked in Psalm 139, where in the world can I go to get away from you? Can I go up real high? You're there. Can I go down to the lowest part of the sea? You're there. God is everywhere, more than Santa Claus. He's omnipresent. Santa Claus tries to be omnipresent, huh, Junior? But look with me at this again, please, for just a moment. Teach me to do your will. See, this is the sign and the words and the prayer of a person that is successful. Pulling your list out that goes from here down to the floor about what you want, that's not always the way to approach God. We should be about realizing and asking him, what about this part of my life? Should I be thinking about stopping this? You know, there's some things I didn't know. I mean, everything's not easy. What am I going to do for God? What does God require of me? Teach me, O God, to do thy will, for thou art my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Now, the land of uprightness is a little area known as God's will. It covers every point of your life. There are things that God wants to give you, but there's things that he doesn't want you to take part of. There are people he wants in your life, and then there are other people he doesn't want in your life. And you know, he's not going to change his mind. So what we have to do is say, God, teach me, show me. What can I do to be a better person? What can I do to be a better son? When I wake up in the morning, I'm a neighbor, I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm an enemy, I'm a friend, I'm a neighbor. But before I'm any of that, I'm a son. Jesus taught us how to pray. His disciples came to him one day and said, Lord, teach us how to pray, just like John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. And he said, all right, this is, here it is. And then you just look at the Lord's Prayer. The first thing that you say is, our Father. This is what I've found. More than he wants me to call him Lord, he wants me to call him Father, Dad, Daddy, Abba Father. It's a term of endearment. It's like saying dad or daddy. I'm that before I'm anything else. That goes unquestionable in my life. And that's what he wants from all of us. Our Father. If you'll have it, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Revelation 3:20. If anyone hears my voice and opens up, I will come into them. But the choice is always yours. In just a moment or two, we're going to take communion. And the choice is yours to take it or not take communion. It's up to you. But there are only two spiritual exercises in the New Testament. There was over 600 in the Old Testament. For believers, one of them is water baptism, and one of them is communion. And communion should be taken with intelligence, with understanding, and willingly. And I have been to churches, you know, and I try to grasp it, but say, oh, I'm not worthy to take it. Well, you're going to have a moment before we take communion tonight to get yourself worthy, because getting worthy is simply this. The word says, Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, examine yourself, then take communion. If there's sin in your life, 1 John 1:9 says this, if, over 1,500 ifs in the King James translation of the Bible, which helps you to understand something about God. He's stipulatory. He really doesn't care how you want to do it. What he cares about is, who can I find that'll do it the way I say? He's the creator. Psalm 24 and 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and everybody that dwells here. And you know what? It's the wrong thing to wait till judgment day to find out you were wrong about that. And if this is offending anybody in this room, there's no lock on that door. But you should know. You should know the truth. And sometimes people like me, I'm glad that you came. I hope you'll come next time. But I'm not going to change my dialogue. I'm not going to change my message. I'm going to prove and preach and do the best I can to live, and I mess up. I did some of my best sinning after I got saved. I was only 19 years old when I got saved. And what I found that is dear to me is that God the Father, through His Son and through the power of His Holy Spirit, processes sin in my life. 1 John says this, those that say they don't sin, they're full of it. That's just not the truth. So if you have a problem with that, you don't really have a problem with me. Get your Bible. We'll get together and we'll have a Bible study. We'll look it over, see what it says. But it's an intense love. In the Greek language, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. There is an extreme connotation of how much He loved the world, how much He was willing to give to redeem mankind. God loved the world so much that He gave His very best. And I'm going to tell you what I've found. To get to walking with the Lord, you've got to give Him your very best. And for me, it's been a process. I'm working on it. That's just the truth. I'm not standing up here feeling like I'm better than anybody else. But this is what I do. I'm called to do this. The Word tells us. If you don't get anything else tonight, I'm just asking you to do one thing. Think about your life. Think about your life. I pray every one of you is here next week. I pray you're still alive because things happen all the time and we know it. Terrible things. We've just had a terrible thing happen in our community where two young men are gone. Terrible things. I don't think either one of those men woke up and thought, this is what's going to happen today. I'll never forget some time ago. I believe I was still turkey hunting, and it was a Wednesday night like this, and Melissa called, and she was beside herself. She'd lost her home. She said, Brother Angelo, my house is burning down right now. And were there moments when you thought, this is more than I can bear? And now, a couple of years later, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. And He made up for it. You know why? Because you guys made an honest effort to do this. Draw near to God. And God will draw near to you. Now, that's the truth for anybody in this room. If anybody has spiritual questions about salvation and getting, just let me know. We'll go for a ride. We'll do something. For thou art my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. The land of uprightness is whatever God says. And you know what? The Word says in Romans chapter 8, you're going to have to crucify some of them ideas you got about what you want to do compared to what God wants to do. I'll leave it at that. I've had to. Have you had to? Is He compelling you? Is He speaking to you? Angel? Good. I'm so glad to see some of the progress that you're making. I'm preaching a message on guidance from the Lord and what it takes to be consistently guided by the Lord, because you can be consistently guided by God. What if I make a mistake? Well, this is what you do. You tell God I made a mistake. You tell the people that you made a mistake with, I made a mistake. Ask them to forgive you. You know, if we would clean up some of our own messes, we'd make progress. To humble yourself and tell somebody you was wrong is requisite for Christianity. You have to be able to do that. I get up probably once or twice a year and say, look, if I have hurt you, I am sorry. I didn't mean to. And if you'll tell me how, and if I can make it up, I'll do the best that I can to make it up. But see, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, is good for the people behind the pulpit and the people in the pew. Do you believe that? That's what I believe. That's good preaching. That's what the Word of God says. Let's go to another verse. I'm preaching to you a message entitled The Guidance of God, and that there is something that you have to do to be guided by God. You know, I took a bad fall in December, and the doctors, they told me everything that they could tell me of what I should do. And for the biggest part of it, I listened to them. I'm not against doctors. I'm not against medicine. Doctors and medicine are all the way through the Bible. Luke, who was the writer of Luke and the writer of Acts, was a doctor that traveled with the Apostle Paul and treated people medically as best that he could. So, know the truth. Don't go by hearsay. When I got saved, I was 19 years old. I had demon possession. I had addiction. I was very afraid. I was very much full of hate. And I got a red leather living Bible. And I got away in my room and I shut everybody out. And I read that Bible so much that that Bible began to read me and begin to show me where I was missing it. And he's been showing me ever since. You have to have an open experience with God. How many of you feel like I'm willing to change for God if that's what he wants in certain areas? Amen. So let's go, please, to Psalm 31, verses 1 through 3, and then verse 5. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. You've got to ask yourself, are you open to God's guidance? Are you open to let him be the leader in your life? You know, if you don't know him, that would make me leery of just following somebody I didn't know. But you know, I put the time in to find out who he was. And you know what? He is exactly who he says he is. He says what he means, and he means what he says. So, lead me and guide me for your name's sake. Now, in that same chapter, please put up verse 5. Into your hand I commit my spirit. For thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. Millie and I pray this every morning. Into your hand we commit our spirits, don't we? We mean it. If it's my day to die, I'm not going to run from that. I'm not going to beg for another day. I'm just going to let God do what he wants. Why? Because I trust him. I believe that I had a day to be born, and I have a day that I'm going to die. And I'm going to sure try not to let the devil take a day from me that I'm supposed to be alive. And I'm sure not going to beg and cry around and try to get something that he doesn't have for me. I just trust him that much. He knows what's right. He knows what's wrong. When you have a relationship like that, you can get up in the morning. I finally told those doctors after I was there about two or three days up in Fayetteville or Elm Spring. What was that place? Springdale. Good hospital. The best neurosurgeon in Arkansas, Dr. Tonyman. But you know, there came a time when the Lord began to say, I'm going to get you out of here. And I told them, I'm ready to go. And they said, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am. And they got a therapist to walk with me, and he couldn't keep up with me. And he begged me to stop and just sit down and talk with him for a while. But I also told him, I'm beginning to feel like you're trying to hold me against my will, and I'm not going to let you do that. You know what they did? They turned me loose. Brother Angelo, follow this hallway. There's an electronic door. It's just open. And you know, when they did that, they were moving me to another room where I was supposed to spend more time. Right. And I don't know what happened. Casey just happened to be up there. And they said, well, you're going home. I said, well, I believe that. See, you know what I want to know? If I pray for somebody and they don't get what I prayed for, I want to know why. Because I don't have a shamble prayer life where prayers don't get answered. In my life, if you ask me to pray, something good is going to happen to you. I just want everybody to know that. Now, if we could think about praying this every morning. These are the last words that Christ said on the cross. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And then he just gave up the ghost. He gave it up, see. He didn't try to prolong. He didn't fight and snivel and cry and weep. He just gave up the ghost and trusted God 3 days later. That grave couldn't hold him no more. And the heavyweight champion of the world come out that grave. He's been resurrected ever since. And he was the first man in the New Testament to be raptured. He was caught up right in front of over 500 people, saw him raptured. The women that came to see him and to work on his dead body, a couple of days later, an angel asked him, why seek ye the living among the dead? Jesus is risen. Ain't nobody like Jesus. All the counterfeits that we have in America, they're going to let you down. There's nobody like Jesus. He is the heavyweight champion of the world. And everything has been put in his hands. And I'm preaching a message. If I were you, I'd let God guide me. And could we go to Psalm 32, verses 6 through 9? This is my last place this morning. We're about to take communion if you want to. We won't ask you if you don't. I mean, that's up to you. But we're here to bless you every way that we can. For this shall everyone know that is godly, pray thee in a time when you may be found. You know, there may be a finding time for someone in this small place tonight. We've seen it smaller than this, haven't we, Mary? And see great things happen. See healings happen. Salvation happen. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct, this is God's response to the prayer that David was praying. He said, David, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide you with my eye upon you. And then he gives a kind of understanding here. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Don't be like that. Don't be stupid. Everybody in this room has a will, and you have enough sense to do what God wants to do with you. And he loves you. And he has best intentions for you. And he can give you more than you've ever had. Now, we do what the Bible says. We're about to take communion. The word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, let a person examine themselves and then take communion. Then eat of the bread, drink of the cup. And we're examining ourselves because sin comes up in people's lives. If you feel like there's something in there that shouldn't be there, confess it to the Lord. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he has a legal right to forgive you and cleanse you from sin. Well, I wish I could get rid of addiction. I wish I could get rid of this. I wish I could get rid of that. I wish I could get rid of this sickness. If you do it God's way, you will. You will. So if we could have some communion taken music, and I'm going to ask you to either join me at the front of this church and examine your heart, or I'm going to ask you to make an altar right where you are. And if you don't wish to take communion, that's up to you.